This is a difficult scripture this morning. There's many of those throughout the Bible, scriptures that we struggle with, scriptures that we have to wrestle with, scriptures that we struggle to understand. They don't seem to fit the narrative that we have become comfortable with. They make us squirm. We like to skip over these scriptures. Go on to the God loves everyone scriptures. We like those. God loves everybody. Those are nice. These more difficult passages lurk in the Word, just waiting to make us stumble. We have to deal with the complexity and the difficulty in understanding what's going on here. These scriptures force us to wade deeper than the surface skimming we often do with easier scripture pieces. We have to really want to understand these. Jesus was approached by a Canaanite woman. She is shouting at him, "Have mercy on me, Lord! Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." This sounds like it would be right up Jesus' alley, right? We've certainly seen him cast out other demons. He's even cast out demons that didn't ask to be cast out, right? He'll be teaching to a crowd and some demon over here is making noise and he'll cast him into a herd of pigs, right? We've read that story. Right? I mean, this is really nothing for Jesus to take care of. It seems like this is in his wheelhouse. Cast out the demons, heal those afflicted, save the child. So what does Jesus do? Verse 23, but he did not answer her at all. Jesus ignored her. Does that seem strange to anybody else? Approached by a woman in need, with a child in need, and Jesus doesn't even acknowledge her. She isn't hard to notice. She's shouting. But Jesus just looks the other way. Focuses on other stuff. Doesn't even acknowledge that she's there. I'm not sure what's worse in this story, that Jesus doesn't help her right away when we certainly know he can, or that he ignores her entirely. His disciples become uncomfortable. This is a scene. She's shouting. She's making a lot of noise and Jesus is ignoring her, but there's a crowd. She needs to go away. So the disciples come to Jesus and they said, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. Get rid of this crazy woman. Why are you just ignoring her?" Notice the disciples don't want to help her either. Right? They have the ability to cast out the demon as well, but they don't want to help her either. They just want her to go away. But at least that's consistent with the disciples' actions. In other situations, we've seen them where they try to shoo the children away that are coming to Jesus, where they want to turn away the crowd that is hungry. Right? We've seen this before with the disciples. At least it makes sense to their character. So maybe Jesus is getting ready to teach them something here, right? Maybe this is the teaching moment Jesus was looking for. He's going to turn and admonish them for not helping her, and then he's going to take her hand. He's going to hear her desperate plea. He's going to see the desperation within her, and he's going to save her daughter. Surely that's where we're going. Verse 24, he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep, the house of Israel." Jesus, the beacon of inclusion, of breaking down established barriers, of calling us out of our exclusionary theology, is presented with a Canaanite woman in need. And again, the Jews and the Canaanites did not get along. That's a recurring theme. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the Good Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along either. It seems like maybe the Jews weren't great neighbors. I don't know. Didn't seem like they got along with very many people. But they didn't like the Canaanites either. So surely Jesus is going to break down this cultural wall. He's going to show us how to open our hearts and help those in need, regardless of where they come from or what their background is or what their nationality is. So in verse 24, he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Nope, just going to continue that cultural divide. Okay, well, that's different. The woman isn't done, though. Notice that she doesn't give up. When it's your kid, you'll do whatever it takes. You don't take no for an answer when it's about your kid. You don't stop trying. You do what has to be done. You cross divides. You climb over walls, and you keep going when it's your kid. Verse 25, "But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" This is it. This is the moment in the story that melts your heart. This mother, so desperate to help her daughter, kneels before the man who tried to send her away, and she begs, "Lord, help me." Surely, this is going to be where Jesus shows us that compassion and that caring and that kindness that we're supposed to extol, to live up to. Verse 26, he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Didn't see that one coming. Got to be honest with you. That's a little harsh. That's a little mean. Pardon me for saying so. Jesus is being kind of a jerk. "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to..." He's calling her a dog. By the way, in relation, he's calling us dogs as well, because she was a Gentile, and so are we. So he was calling you a dog too. Don't sit there and go, "Oh, that poor woman." It was you too. We're the dogs. Seems really strange, doesn't it? I mean, how do we reconcile this to the same Jesus who said, "Let the little children come to me," who said, "You feed the 5,000, who said, "I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink"? How is that the same Jesus that is now saying it is not fair to take the children's food and give it to the dogs? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but he just called a mother who is racked with pain and anguish over her daughter's suffering, who is desperate, who is on her knees begging for help. He just called her a dog. The children's food that he mentions refers to Jesus coming to the Jewish people, coming to turn them back to God again. He is Jewish, sent by the God of the Jews to save the Jewish people. But it kind of felt like we'd moved beyond that mission, right? I mean, in the other stories, it seemed like maybe he had gone a little bit further. I mean, that whole God sent his son into the world to save the world kind of felt like we'd grown beyond that original mission. And yet here Jesus refers to this woman who is not Jewish. She's a foreigner. She's a Gentile. He calls her a dog. Man, does anybody have some Jesus loves you scripture we could deal with this morning instead? Wouldn't that be easier? The woman isn't done, by the way. When it's your kid, you can call me whatever you want. I need you to help my kid. There's absolutely no barrier I won't cross, no journey I won't take, no risk I won't face. This is about my kid. You can call me any name you want. Call me a dog. Fine, I'm a dog. Yeah, are you going to help me or not? Verse 27, she said, yes, Lord. Yeah, yeah, okay, I'm a dog. Fine, whatever. Yes, Lord. Yet, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Yeah, okay, fine. Lord, absolutely. I'm a dog, whatever you want to call me. Help my kid, because I know that there is more than enough grace and more than enough healing and more than enough power in your God to heal my daughter. There are crumbs that fall off the table. I'm not asking for a seat at the table. I'm a dog, fine, I'll lay on the floor. But man, knock a couple crumbs off to me, right? There's got to be more than enough for that. She lowers herself about as far as you can go. And miraculously, it works. She yelled and she was ignored. She continued and she was dismissed. She kneels and is told no. She continues and is called a dog, and yet she keeps going. And it works. Verse 28, then Jesus answered, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. Kind of got a feel-good moment on the end of the story, but man, it was kind of rough to get here, right? Kind of get to the end and you go, well, okay, Jesus healed her kid. All right, what's next? Hold on just a second. What just happened? What was that? That doesn't make any sense at all. Jesus, as a xenophobic, exclusionary, rude jerk, but she says, pretty, pretty please, and he says, oh, okay. It's not enough to simply read across the surface of this scripture. We're going to have to peel it back a little bit. There's a lot more going on in this piece than we see. The problem is, we're focused on this tree, and we got to step back for a second and see that forest. There's a lot going on in this section of Scripture. Starts out with a confrontation, Jim had read us, between the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Jesus, right? It was always between Jesus and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They come to him and they're upset because the disciples have been out working all day, right? They've been healing people, dealing with the crowds, feeding people. They've been casting out demons. They've been doing all this stuff. And they come in, they're hungry. You've done this. End of a long day when you've been working outside and you're dusty and you're dirty and your back hurts and you're sweaty and you're hungry. You haven't eaten all day. All you want to do is get something to eat. And you come in, there's food on the table, and all you can think of at that moment is stuffing your face, right? Right now, this is all I can do. This is all I have energy left for, is sticking food in my mouth. That's it. So the disciples come in. They're tired, they're dusty, and they're dirty, and they go, oh, thank God, there's some food on the table. They sit down, they start eating, and the Pharisees go, whoa, wait a minute. The rules say you're supposed to wash your hands first. They turn to Jesus. They go, do you see what your disciples are doing? How they defile themselves? They're unclean. They're unworthy because they didn't wash their hands. And Jesus goes into a whole teaching with them where he says, idiots, I'm paraphrasing, it's not what you put into your mouth that defiles you, which, by the way, in that sentence, he abolishes about 17 chapters of food ordinances from the book of Leviticus, but we'll cover that later. It's not what you put into your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out. And his disciples come over and go, hey, did you know that the Pharisees were offended by that? Now, this sounds like Jesus, right? This Jesus I know, right? He's riling up the religious elite, the church leaders, right? He's telling them, you've been doing it wrong. You better turn and start doing it right. It's not about the rules about washing your hands. It's about what's in your heart. And you know how I know what's in your heart? What comes out of your pie hole is what tells me what's in your heart. And it's not been good stuff. It's been evil intentions. It's been murder and adultery and fornication and theft and false witness and slander. That sounds like Jesus, right? Turning to the church leaders, not to the poor woman begging for her daughter's life in the street, but to the church leaders who are just looking for a reason to find fault, who have their book of rules and are saying, you didn't do rule 37A, paragraph 2 correctly. This sounds like Jesus turning to them and going, knock it off. It's not what you put into your mouth. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. That sounds like the Jesus I know. The scripture goes immediately from that interaction into the one with the Canaanite woman. So what's happening? You know, different commentaries have different suggestions here. You know, maybe it was Jesus continuing to teach about the rules and which rules mattered and which rules didn't, and trying to break down the rule of God is only for us and not for everyone. Maybe that's what was going on. Maybe this story is about persistence. Maybe he's talking to us that when we meet resistance, that we're supposed to keep going, that we're supposed to keep pushing, that when it's important to our heart, to our faith, to our life, that we're not supposed to simply lay down because we got ignored or because somebody told us no or because someone called us a name, that we're supposed to keep pushing. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe, you know, maybe honestly, maybe this was a story where Jesus changed his mind. Remember, Jesus is fully human as well as fully divine. I change my mind. There's times where I think the answer's A. It will always be A forever and a day. The answer's A. And then I go, it could be B. Right? We've all had those moments. Maybe this is Jesus' human side. Maybe he was stuck in that rut of, no, that's not what I'm here for. And her persistence changed his mind. Maybe that's what's going on. Here's what I think was going on. Jesus just had this interaction with the Pharisees, where the Pharisees were all about the rules, and the rules were important to them because the rules allowed them to establish who is in and who is out, who is us and who is them. The rules were the barrier they used to keep others away from God. And Jesus goes directly from that interaction where he told them it's not about the rules and what you put in your mouth, it's about what comes out of your mouth. He goes right into this interaction. Maybe what Jesus was doing, was modeling the Pharisees' behavior. Maybe the way that Jesus responded to her, maybe he responded that way because that's how the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the temple leaders, the faith leaders in this community, this is how they would have reacted. If the Pharisees had been approached by this Canaanite woman, they would have ignored her. They wouldn't even look. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan, right? The rabbi walks by on the other side of the road, pretending not to see the guy in the ditch. Same thing. They would have just walked by and ignored her. And then if she persisted, they would have just said, no, it's not for you. And if she would have kept going, they would have insulted her. They would have said, what we have isn't for the dogs. Maybe what Jesus is doing here is modeling the behavior that would have been the established theological reaction of that time. God is our God, and what God has is for us and not for you, and there's not enough to go around. We cannot share because there's a limit. He does this knowing the woman will persist. It's about her kid. She's gonna cut her heart open and lay her beating heart at his feet if she has to. It's kind of interesting, though, that the word that he uses when he calls her a dog at the kind of the climax of the scene there, he calls her a dog. The word he used, there's several words in biblical Hebrew for dog. There is a word that means dog as we would think of the general generic term. When you see a mangy, flea-ridden, chewing on a chicken bone, barking at everybody that passes by, dog, right? And you go, oh, look at that dog, right? There's that word. That's not the word he used, though. When he called her a dog, when he said, when it's not fair for the children's food to be thrown to the dogs, The word he used in Hebrew actually means pet. It's a softer word. Let me explain the difference. You know the phrase, this place is going to the dogs? When you say something like that, that's a bad thing, right? Nobody's ever said that in a good way, right? Oh, this place is going to the dogs. What we mean is, it's like there's a pack of wild animals running around here, tearing things up, peeing and pooping all over the place, growling at people, right? It's not a good thing. However, when I get home from church today and I walk through my front door and my three Yorkies come up to greet me and I say, well, this place is going to the dogs, completely different, right? Completely different. Because with my dogs, I think about how precious they are and how lovable. My little fur baby's coming up to me. Well, of course it's going to the dogs. They deserve it. Completely different word. What's going on here is Jesus is modeling the despicable behavior of the faith community at that time. The faith community at that time was about drawing barriers, about drawing boundaries around God and saying, we have God and you don't, and that's never going to change. And Jesus comes along, and his whole ministry is about the fact that God is for the world, that God sent him to save the world. Jesus is about breaking those barriers down, so he shows this Pharisee behavior, and then he turns it. And the first thing he does is he recognizes this Gentile, this Canaanite woman's faith. Great is your faith. And her prayers are answered. The last thing in this section, right after dealing with the Canaanite woman, the crowd around Jesus has grown to about 4,000 people. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, I have compassion for the crowd. They've not eaten in a couple days. We need to feed them. And his disciples go, you're out of your mind. We don't have enough to feed the 12 of us, let alone 4,000 people. And Jesus says, what do you got? And he said, we got 7 loaves of bread and a couple fish. And he said, that'll do. And he blessed it, and he broke it, and he passed it out. This story is repeated several times in the gospel. This time it's 4,000, there's a time when it's 5, there's a time when it's, I think, 7. They pass it out, of course there's more than enough. Everybody eats their fill, and when it's done, they gather up 7 basketfuls. They go from 7 loaves of bread to 7 basketfuls of bread and fish left over. When you look at the whole of this chapter, it's about removing those limits that we place on God. It's about breaking down those barriers that we have erected. It's about saying that God is not limited, that there is quite enough grace, and there is quite enough love, and there is quite enough forgiveness, and there is quite enough hope and joy and peace for the world. There is no limit on God's grace. There is no limit on God's forgiveness. There is no limit on God's love. It is not just for us. It is for all of God's children. And when we open our hearts and share it, there is quite enough. Enough for the Canaanite woman and her child. Enough for Gentile dogs like you and me. Enough for the world that God has made and loved and redeemed.